Jesus presented in the temple. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. And there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying,
Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophet Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him.
Thank you. So Daniel's going to come and speak to us now. Can I just pray with you, Daniel? So, loving God, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you that those stories of you grew up from within a people out of their stories. And so to share them now from within ourselves is really special. And we just pray for Daniel as he brings what he has prepared and what you have to say to us. We pray your blessing upon Daniel, and we pray that our hearts and minds are open too. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, so good morning, everyone. It's good to see you. I'm going to start this morning with a quiz. So I need two volunteers to help me out, preferably people shorter than myself. So can I have two volunteers? It is a noisy quiz, so if you want to make some noise, come up here. I don't want to have to pick two people, so can I have two volunteers? Let's have a look. Great. Wow, Raf, come on up. Fantastic. I just need one other as well. Great. Do you want to come this way? Thank you very much. Hello. Do you want to stand here? Fantastic. What's your name? Elliot, I should know that, I'm sorry. Hello, so we have Raf and Elliot. Okay, so, between yourselves, who wants a shaker and who wants a tambourine? Okay, do you want to give that a shake? Does it work? Okay, that works, great. And you get the tambourine. Cool. Right, do you want to just test your tambourine out? Good, okay, right. So, what we're going to do, we're going to have a quiz, and I'm going to show some signs on the screen behind me, okay? Now, what I want you guys to do is I want you to look towards the screen and turn around. Great. We're going to have some signs showed on the screen. Now, the first person that knows what the sign is and shakes their maracas or tambourine, makes as much noise as they can, the first person to do that gets to answer the question. And If you get the question right, you get a point, okay? We don't have a prize, we don't have the budget for it, but, okay. do we, Dennis? No. Okay, so does that make sense? So when you see the picture, if you know what it is, shake your device as loud as you can, okay? Make a lot of noise, okay? Right, so should we have the first sign? Okay, what's that? Who knows? Breath. Yes.
McDonald's.
Well done. Two round of applause. Okay. Don't worry, Elliot. There's plenty to play for. Okay. I've been watching Catchphrase. Okay. The next sign, please. Okay, what's that? Elliot, I think you got that. Apple. Well done. Great. Fantastic. Okay. Ready for the next sign? Go for it. Okay, do you know what? You both get a point for that, I think. So well done. So that's 2 points each. Is that right? My... Okay, good. Thank you. Right. Okay, so the next sign. Ah, okay, what's that? Uh-huh. Yes.
Petrol station.
Yes, well done. I'll give you that. Don't worry, Elliot, it's fine. You don't drive. Obviously, you drive, giraffe. Do you drive? Okay, right, so we have the next sign, please. Okay. Ah.
Barclays.
Wow, well done. Okay. Boy. Are you still at school? Are you in a job where you have a car and a bank account? Okay, so the next sign, let's have this next one. Right. Elliot.
Takeaway.
Close. Close? I'm not saying close. No, it's not that. Do you have an idea? No? Do you want to take a guess? So, if you were going to come this way and I did this, right, and you didn't want to come any further, any ideas? Okay, so
dead end.
Almost, yeah. No entry. So it says no entry. Good. Okay. Well done. I don't know what the score is now, but you know, I think you're both doing great. So, the next sign should we have? Okay, what's that? Yes.
Danger.
Okay. What kind of danger?
You might get electrocuted.
Yes, well done. Well done. Okay. And I think there's another one now. Before we show it, okay, I think you might get this one. So be ready, Elliot. Okay, I think you can get this. Should we go for it? Right, what's the next sign? Okay. I'm going to let Elliot answer this one, actually.
Green man.
So what does it mean? And you're allowed to cross, aren't you? Well done. So we'll face this way. Okay, so anyone keep the scores? 5-3 to Raf? Okay. Raf, well done. Okay. And Elliot, well done as well. You're both winners. Okay. Do you want to put those down and go and take your place? Brilliant. Thank you very much. I'm just going to grab some water. I'm parched today. Right. Okay, fantastic. So, brilliant. I thought that went really well, actually. Now, probably many of you recognised a number of those signs as well. Like signs for the McDonald's, for example. I'm sure a lot of you have recognised that sign. It's one of my favourite signs. And you've probably seen a number of the other signs too on regular occasions. I mean, perhaps you've gone to fill your car, like Raf apparently has, and seen the Shell sign. Or perhaps you've gone to the bank to deposit some money or take some money out, and you've seen the Barclays sign if you bank with Barclays. And I'm sure if you're looking for something, you're glad when the signs are big and bold and plain to see, because it points you in the right direction. And in fact, we do live in a culture where signs are everywhere. This culture is filled to the brim with signs. There are signs everywhere we look. And perhaps, actually, on your way home, you might want to have a count and see how many signs you pass. You may be surprised how many signs you see. Because whether it's on TV or billboards or in magazines, signs are just about everywhere. You can't escape them. And signs exist for a whole range of reasons. They're designed, some are designed to bring attention to something that we might want or need, such as petrol or a McDonald's. And other signs are there to help us to find ourselves, to get to a place, so they may provide directions for us and show us the way to go. And in fact, if you're anything like me, all of the signs in the world can't stop you from getting lost. Then of course there's signs that exist to warn us of danger, such as the warning of electrocution sign that we saw. You know, do not cross, cross here, do not touch, keep your speed under 50 miles an hour. And some signs you can't miss because they're huge. Who's been to Piccadilly Circus? Seen the signs there flashing in neon? They're huge, you can't miss them. And other signs you might pass without even noticing, even though that sign may be of great importance to you. And so all of these different kinds of signs, those that advertise products, that warn us of danger, that show us the way to go, they all have one thing in common, and that is to communicate something to us. They all communicate something to us. They tell us something that we may want to know or need to know. And God, you know, uses signs for the same purpose. Now, he uses signs to communicate to us, his children. He uses signs to reveal something more of himself to us, and maybe reveal something more of his purpose for our lives. And some of these signs from God, as it were, might grab our attention out of the blue. And I'm not talking flashing lights or crosses in the sky or anything, but I'm talking about this. Have you ever seen something so beautiful, perhaps on holiday or something, where you've been struck by its beauty? And have you then ever found yourself thinking, if just for a moment, of the even greater beauty of the Creator behind what you've just seen? A sign, if you like, of God's power and majesty and creativity. Or perhaps you spent time with friends or family recently, and you found yourself wondering again, if just for a moment, if just for a second, at the God who is behind the very creation of people and relationships, the God who is the very essence of love. A sign, perhaps, of God's heart for people. Perhaps a glimpse of the depths of his love for us. Or have you perhaps made a decision or gone somewhere or met someone that has turned out to be a blessing to you? Maybe something that the world calls coincidence, but which you recognize is a sign of God's heart for you, a sign of how God is working in each of our lives to lead us onto paths where we can flourish. And there are other signs that God places in our paths all the time, some which are harder to see at first, perhaps, and they may take some time to spot. But these signs are no less precious, no less important. And in fact, it's one of the reasons why I'm so fascinated with the Old Testament at the moment, because I've realized that it's chock full of signs. The Old Testament is chock full of signs from all the way through. And some of those signs are actually easy to miss. You know, we can skim parts of the Old Testament, and actually we can miss things very important that God is sharing to us about him. And there are other signs in the Old Testament that provide direction. They give us direction. They help us make good and wise decisions. They help us take the best path for us. And there are other signs too that warn us if we go wrong, if we decide to go our own way. Well, it's a bit like a sign points to a cliff edge, really, isn't it? You know, do not come any closer. This is a dangerous path to take. But you know, there's something else amazing about all of these signs that we find in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And it's something truly amazing. And that is, if you look really closely at each of these signs, You know, if you follow the trail of breadcrumbs sometimes that God lays, you will find those signs. They all lead to a place of hope. They all lead to a place of healing and forgiveness. And we find that all of these signs all point in anticipation to one individual. And that's the one whose name is Jesus. And so that brings today's Bible story. And we heard, of course, from two people from Israel whose names were Simeon and Anna. And it's evident, actually, from the story that these are two people that have spent a great deal of time seeking out signs in the Old Testament, which, of course, is all they had at the time. They didn't have the New. They only had half of the story. And they were following the trail, so to speak, piecing together God's plan for their nation, God's plan for the world. And Simeon and Anna actually both knew that Israel hadn't been very good at following the signs God had given them. You know, for instead of following the signs to a place of peace and prosperity and security and joy, Israel had instead taken one turn wrong after another. And as a result, Israel had ended up a bit like I was a few years ago when I felt to follow the signs to a footpath that I was following on holiday. And I ended up lost with no way to find my way back by myself. I actually ended up in a field of cows as well, but that's another story. So this is where Israel found itself at this point. Now, the people of Israel were lost with no way back by themselves. But Simeon and Anna both knew that this was not the end of the story. Because Simeon and Anna had been paying attention to what they read in the scriptures. They'd prayed and they'd seen the signs of hope that God had laid throughout the scriptures, right through. Signs that promised a redeemer and a savior who would lead them back on the right path. Signs that promised the true king of Israel, the true king of the world. And Simeon and Anna were both people of prayer. And they'd been listening to what God had been saying also through prayer. And so when they saw Jesus in the temple, pardon me, when they saw Jesus in the temple, they knew here he was, this child, this baby. Now, here was the one who would grow up to be their savior, the king they'd been waiting for, and not just for Israel, but for the whole world. And so before I go any further, who can tell me what today is? Robert, can you tell me what today is?
We're celebrating Candlemas. Is that tomorrow?
Is it tomorrow? Okay, my apologies. Okay, so we're approaching Candlemas. And Candlemas is the Festival of Lights. It's a beautiful name, isn't it? And it's actually where we remember the presentation of the baby Jesus in the temple. And candles, you know, they bring light to a dark place. And Jesus brings light to the world. And Jesus would have been exactly, 40 days old at this point when Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple to be presented to God. And Simeon was a chap who lived in Jerusalem. And he was waiting, we're told, for this very moment, this very event. And in fact, God had assured him that he would not die until this event took place. And I sort of like to imagine Simeon as approaching his 112th birthday or something and thinking, I wish God would get a move on, you know. But anyway, he's probably younger than that. And we're told something very important about Simeon. We're told that the Holy Spirit was on him. So we're told that the Holy Spirit was on Simeon. Now, at that time, God's Spirit rested on individuals or a group of people for a period of time and for a specific purpose. And, of course, we live the other side of Jesus' resurrection, where the Holy Spirit is for all who will receive him. And not just for a fixed time either, but for eternity. And here is the first lesson, then, for us who have the Holy Spirit living within us. And that is this: if we recognize, if we are to recognize God's signs, if we are to understand them, then we must pray. So if we're to recognize what God is saying to us fully and to understand what God is saying to us, we must pray. And it reminds us as well, actually, of reading our Bibles, the Old Testament and the New Testament, is a vital thing, just as prayer is a vital thing. And if you mix both of those things together, well, it's a bit like a key turning in a lock. And Simeon, I believe, would have known that. He would have learned to listen to the Holy Spirit. He would have learned to recognize God's voice as he waited on God. And so that day he wakes up and he knows. He just knows the Holy Spirit has prompted him. And he heads into the temple and he finds the baby Jesus with his parents. Not only does he see Jesus, he prophesies over the baby and he warns Mary that her heart will be broken. A sword will pierce her soul by events that will take place in the years to come. So that's Simeon's story. And then we have Anna. And we're told that Anna is a widow and she spends all of her time praising and worshipping God in the temple. And Anna also recognizes who Jesus is. And it is significant, I think, that Anna is someone who just loved to spend time in God's presence. No, she's someone who loved to spend time with God, worshipping him. And she certainly would have spent a lot of time, scriptures too, listening to scriptures. And she would have learned to recognize the signs that God had laid before her. And what does Anna do after seeing Jesus? Well, we're told that she goes out and she tells anyone who will listen about Jesus. And she tells them who Jesus is, what Jesus is going to do, what he means to us as human beings. And it's no wonder, actually, that Joseph and Mary were just amazed at what was being said about the baby that they were holding. Anyway, so I want to leave you today with some food and for thought based on what we've heard this morning. And that is, what signs has God laid for you to see? Now, what signs in your life, what signs and things that you see and read has God laid for you to discover? What signs has God laid to you for you to draw strength from in difficult times? What signs has he laid for you to delight in, to remember that you're a child of God and we live and we breathe in God's amazing creation? What have you read or heard or seen or experienced that reveals to you more about God and his purposes for your life? I want to challenge you as well this morning. I feel like I should challenge us all. And that is, are we spending quality time with God? Are we spending quality one-on-one time with God? Are we doing what Simeon and Anna did? Are we reading the scriptures? Are we praying to God? Are we chatting to God and just laying it all before him, so to speak? And if not, don't feel guilty. That's not why I'm saying this. It's not a guilt trip. But are there steps you can take to make it a part of your day? Are there steps you can take to give God more space in your day? And of course, it's not an easy thing to do. You know, we all have commitments. We have busy lives and plenty of commitments. But then, doesn't God deserve a commitment as well of our time? And I think in succeeding in making quality time for God in all of our lives, it is always rewarding. You know, not a second is spent in God's presence that's wasted. How can it be? And it's God's heart to draw us deeper into him. It's his heart to reveal things to us that make us delight in him and to reveal his plan to us for our lives. Because God is our Father, and we are his beloved children. So let us this year take more time perhaps to listen to God and spend time with God. And if you're not sure how to do that, well, God knows how. And just come to God and let God do the talking. So let us be like Simeon, shall we? Let us be people that have learned to listen to the Holy Spirit within us and to obey what Jesus is saying to us. And let us be like Anna. Let us be people who love to be in God's presence. Let us be people who love to share God with others. And let us not forget, as Candlemas approaches, this festival of lights, let's not forget to give thanks to the one who has restored us to this intimate relationship with the Father, and that's Jesus, the light of the world.